us from clinging to what we have and frees us to move away from the safe place and enter unknown and fearful territory. That's a powerful statement. I'm just read it one more time for you so you can kind of get it, because if your brain's like mine, I got part of it and then I lost the rest of it. Hope prevents us from clinging to what we have and frees us to move away from the safe place and enter unknown and fearful territory. Think about that as we start our time together this morning. You know, hopeful waiting. I entitled the message, "It Isn't Simply Hopeful Waiting." Our hope in Christ is not just simply hopeful waiting. You know, we talk about waiting for stuff. This morning, Julianne's waiting for help. My wife and I have been waiting for a check from the IRS for 2 years. We were told that we should wait and it would come. Their mistake, they would rectify and we would get our check. We never did. So we were told, file an amended tax return. So we'll wait some more. Waiting. Hopeful waiting. I have been waiting for years for a Tigers or Lions or Pistons or Red Wings. Even just the playoffs. Hopeful waiting. Yeah. All four. What, God, can you give me at least one of them? There's no guarantee that any of these things I just mentioned are going to happen. But I'm hopeful. But our hopes so many times and a lot of the temporal things in life are dashed eventually. Because the things we hope for, even if we hope for something and we receive it, we end up down the road realizing that thing didn't even satisfy either. But the kind of hope we have in God is a different kind of hope. And I love the way it's kind of pictured for us in this text that was read this morning in Jeremiah. In the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, those two verses that were shared with us, there's some beautiful imagery here that I think deals with this idea of how we can have hope. You know, our hope in the Lord by some people is seen similarly as we may hope in these other things I just mentioned about the sports teams and about waiting for a tax check to come and all those kinds of things. It may happen. It may not happen. But that's not the same thing when it comes to our Lord. When I see this two verses here in Jeremiah 17, I want to read them for you again so you can get them in your mind and picture it. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. You could also say, blessed is the man who hopes in the Lord, because someone who has hope and some trust, that's why they have hope, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him, not in us. See, that's the other thing we misplace sometimes. We put the confidence in us. No. Our confidence is in Him. It's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are green, always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I like the imagery. Because what happens if a tree isn't planted near a source of water? Now, that source of water could come from the sky in the form of rain. I mean, you plant a tree out in the middle of a desert, you might have some issues with keeping that tree alive, right? But in the imagery here, it's a tree that's planted near water. In the imagery that is interesting to me, that I think is a lesson for us this morning, a tree that's planted near the water, not right on the riverbed. You know what happens? We live actually near a creek by our house growing up. And sometimes a tree that was right at the very edge of the river, if you have a deluge of rain or something, erosion takes place and that tree goes down, right down. The trees that were planted near the water are much safer in that sense than the tree that's right on the water's edge. But what's interesting about those trees that are planted a little bit away from the water is the roots have to learn how to grow to get closer to the source of the water, right? And there's something about that I think is a lesson for you and me in this text that is being talked about here. There's a lesson for us, and that is that you and I, for one, need to plant our lives near the source of life, the living water. But for whatever reason, and let me put it in this term. You know, there's a part of me that wishes I could just Velcro myself to Jesus. And you know, everywhere I go, man, he's right there by me, or I'm right there stuck to him. And so every issue I have ever in my life, he is right there, and he's there to take care of everything that goes on in my life, because I'm Velcroed to him. You get the imagery? What am I learning from that? Nothing. Nothing. Because I don't really have to trust him. I'm Velcro to him. Right? But just like Jesus did with his disciples, he would send them off to do some things. In fact, he even said, guess what? I got to leave you. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. But I got to leave you. But I'm not going to leave you without all the things that you need to do what you need to do. In fact, you're going to do even greater things than what I've done when I've been here on this earth. I find that really hard to understand. But anyway, he gave them a little bit of space to do what? I think the space he gave them to do was so that your roots could grow closer to the source. And so when the tough times come in life, you've got a real well-rooted tree that trusts me. If you're too close to me, if you're Velcroed to me, you don't leave room for that to build, do you? And then if all of a sudden you got released from that Velcro, you know, I have some Velcro stuff that you got at home, and you know, over time that Velcro doesn't work anymore. It gets kind of gets whatever. If you ever got released from the Velcro, you wouldn't know what to do, would you? Because you've always just had them right there, fixing everything that's happening in life. Don't you wish you would do that, though, sometimes? I just wish I didn't have to work so hard to actually trust him. And I wish you'd just go ahead and do it. God, you're right here. Just do it. Well, this imagery here, I think, is teaching us something. It's saying, plant your tree close to the source of water, but not so close that you don't have to grow to get rooted. So that when all the stuff in life happens, and maybe there's a drought in your life, your roots are so deep, they're still going to get to the water. They're still going to get to the source. Or when the deluge comes, you're still so deeply rooted that when it comes, the tree is still going to stand. You see, I think there's a lesson in this. If we plant near the water, because the one thing you don't want to do is plant, as I said, far, far away from the water, because you're going to die. You've got to be near the water, where the roots will go down and out. That stream is a permanent source of water. And so he says in this text once again, he says, blessed is the one who trusts or hopes in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He's like that tree that's planted near the water. It sends out its roots to the source of water. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are green and no worries in a year of drought. Never fails to bear fruit. It's a good lesson. I wouldn't always say I like the lesson. But sometimes it's hard to be a little bit away from that source and then have to trust it. It's scary, isn't it, sometimes? When you have no clue what you're going to do. You have no clue how to get through whatever it is you got to get through. But he's saying you're close to the source. Now let those roots grow so you'll be strong no matter what you face in life. You see, if the water is constantly given to the plant without the plant growing its roots, the plant's not well grounded. It may not survive. I think that's a great lesson for us. And I think that lesson is being taught right here in Jeremiah chapter 17. You see, it isn't simply hopeful waiting. It's hope in something that's sure. That source of hope is that water source. It's the living water spoken of in the New Testament when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. He says, I'm the living water. And if you have that lake, you'll never thirst anymore because you are rooted in that who will give you what you need. So trusting in the Lord is like being planted a distance from the stream. And the activity of life causes us to grow our roots closer to the source because we know we're hungry for it. And we get closer to the source and we find that source of water because we are more deeply rooted. Our roots are spread out and they're spread deeper. Trust is key to having a healthy, eternal, and life-giving hope. If we're not challenged, our roots don't go very deep. Our roots don't stretch out very far. I don't want to ask God for challenges, but He gives them to us nonetheless. Some we would have never invited upon ourselves. But in those challenges, there's something that can happen if we'll allow it to happen. And it is, number one, remember where the source is. And move those roots towards that source. By doing so, you and I are strengthened. If it comes too easy, we won't trust the next time. You ever thought of it that way? If it comes too easy, we won't trust the next time. The roots won't extend. Sometimes you and I, in our relationship with God, we've wanted to be the spoiled brat. When I go, then He gives it to me. Right? We want to be that spoiled brat. Every time something isn't going quite my way and I want what I want because I think it's good for me and, you know, God knows better, but we're like the spoiled brat and we whine and then we get that, whatever it is that we wanted, and He gives it to us. We aren't teaching our kids anything when we do it that way. God wants to teach us to be more reliant on Him, and we are less reliant on Him if it's just given to us. Then there's John and Jesus. We've got Jeremiah we've been talking about. There's this other one. And I want to close with this one because this one takes it a little deeper too. Here's John, who's been in ministry for a while. It hasn't really been easy. But he's been in ministry. He's been telling especially a lot of the religious people around there that, you know what, you've got to get your life squared away. You need to repent of your sin and be baptized. Because there's someone that's coming that's going to tell you things that you aren't going to want to hear, but you need to be prepped for that. And he's doing that with the people who are gathering and a lot of the religious leaders that are wondering kind of what's going on with this weirdo that's got a loincloth on and eats honey and locusts and all that sort of thing. And they think he's a little kooky. He wasn't. He had a powerful message to share. But he says something to the people who are gathered there that I want us to get because I think there's a nuance here that reminds us of something. He says this to the people who are gathered around there and he knows that Christ is coming. And he says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What's interesting thing I think about this is there's a contrast. John is showing them the way. Jesus is the way. Get the difference? John is showing them the way, and even in this baptism by water, he's showing them, he's telling them what you need to do. This is representative of what you need to do. It's kind of an external thing that's going on there. He's just throwing some water on them. He's dunking them in the Jordan and he's doing all these things and telling them, you know, you need to repent of your sin because someone is coming. But Jesus, it says, he does something that's not external, it's internal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When you accept what he has to offer, it means he's permanently with you. When you accept what He has to offer, it means you have that eternal source of water that you can always get to because He will give it to you. John's baptism proclaimed the truth, but Jesus is the truth. Don't be stuck in the mechanics of it. I baptize with water. Doesn't change anything. Be immersed in the reality of it. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That changes everything. Sometimes I think in the church, we get hung up on the mechanics. Sometimes we live our lives and think, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do because that's kind of what God wants me to do. So I come on Sunday morning and I worship in a pew. And I put in my time and I go home and I just live my life the way I want to live my life. I think that's being stuck in the mechanics of it. And Jesus wants us to go deeper. He wants us to be immersed in the reality of it. And that is that He's taken a life like yours and mine, as messed up as mine is, as messed up as yours is, and He says, I want you to grow roots that go deep and far, and they'll go to that source of living water, so that as you live your life here on Sunday morning and out there 24/7 throughout the week, that you are always moving deeper and deeper and deeper to the source of living water, who changes my heart. It's not just a mechanical thing. I hope when you come on Sunday morning that singing songs is not just singing songs. It's praising God. I hope when you come on Sunday morning occasionally putting something in an offering envelope, it's not an obligation, but it's a thrill. I pray that when you come on a Sunday morning and we spend some time in prayer, that it's not just a ritual, but it's conversation with the very God of the universe who has His ear bent this way and says, I care about everything that you mentioned this morning. And I want you to go deeper in your roots. As you trust me with the stuff that you've handed to me, you go deeper in those roots. So, it's not just simply hopeful waiting when you go beyond the mechanics of it. Because we're rooted in the source of life, Jesus Christ, the living water. So plant your tree near the water. And as you're challenged in your life, trust Him. And sometimes think we have to trust for a long time before we feel like we've found what it is we need to find or had the answer that we thought we should have. But you know what's happening during that entire time? Your roots are going deeper. And you trust Him even more. Thank God, not necessarily for the circumstances you face, but thank God in the circumstances you face. Because what He's doing is He's helping you to grow. Amen. God, thank You for today and for this lesson from Jeremiah, this lesson from John in the book of Luke. God, I pray You'd help us to understand that You don't give us what we want every time we ask, because if You did, we'd never have to trust You, because it would just be given to us. Help us, Lord, to understand that part of growing up in our physical life as a kid to an adult is the same in our spiritual life, that we have to learn to trust You with things we don't quite comprehend. And as we do, as we continue to trust You, the roots grow deeper and go out further. As long as we're continuing to trust in the source, the living water. Help us to do that more faithfully. And thank You for showing us in Your Word how we can do that. in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, the last